strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford.
Chandler Jones, the new Cardinal sack king. Buda Baker with the sack. Throws end zone for Fitz. Goes up and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Cardinals headquarters.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
The Big Red Rage pre-draft edition is on the clock. 60 minutes and counting of insight, intel, and information. Or is that misinformation?
Or even worse, Paulie, disinformation.
Paulie Pokerface looking across the table here at Cards headquarters trying to ascertain whether he's going to get a straight answer. Out of Ron Wolfley. Wolf, how you doing over there?
I'm doing great, Paulie. Yourself?
I've been searching the internet trying to find Dave Pasch's mock draft. Do you have it posted somewhere? Voice of the Cardinals, Dave Pasch.
Ron Wolfley is going number one overall. He can tell. Nice. He's been working out. Yeah. He's lost some weight.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen this svelte of a Ron Wolfley in a long time.
Well, you know what, David? Thank you for noticing. I appreciate that. I've been laying off the ho-hos.
See, unfortunately, I see Wolf 5 days a week, so I haven't really noticed the gradual weight loss. But you haven't seen Wolf in a
right.
while, have you?
It's been 4 months, so I kind of forgot how big he was prior.
He's no longer putting the full into former fullback when it comes to the cheeks. Is that what you're saying over there?
Okay. Yeah, the helium is out of the cheeks, no doubt.
All right, David, you might want to eat a burger for the record.
That's true. You are most definitely still Dave Fruit Plate Pasch. There's no doubt.
With a big bird tattooed across his back.
All right, enough. Moving on.
It's good to be back on the air with the Big Red Rage. It's good to see some smiles on someone's face in this studio because, 24 hours ago, here we were, Cardinals Underground, pretty much turned into Cards Battleground as I had Kyle Odegaard and Darren Urban taking issue with everything I said here pre-draft. I mean,
why?
My goodness.
What did you say?
They were combative. I mean, I just thrown out a few opinions here or there, about moving up, maybe moving down, who to take when and where, and wow, these guys were battling me on every front. So I'm sort of digging in here. I'm just in case I get some blowback from you guys. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's all the mock drafts. We've had like 3 solid months of mock drafts. Everybody, show of hands, is everybody ready for the real draft?
Yes, Paulie.
Come on.
Ready for
it
right there. You're kidding me. It's just ridiculous right now. Nobody knows. And by the way, if you get 8 of the 32 picks in the first round correct in a mock draft, you're rolling. You're like bragging about the fact you got 8.
Yeah, just wait. I have my Pasch 5. It's coming later.
Well, 8 is the number that was the leader in the clubhouse a year ago by NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah. In case you're wondering, the average number of first-round hits, meaning the right player to the right team, this is according to Mark Dalton, Cardinals VP, was 4.2.
Oh.
So there's a very high margin of error. Let's put it that way. And look, it's not for a lack of effort. I mean, Steve Keim sat in front of the media and said a little under 5,000 reports have been written by the coaches, the scouting staff, on just under 2,000 players total. Think about that. Think of all the work that goes into the 3 days this weekend, gentlemen.
Right, and if you're going to do that, why on earth would you tell somebody in the media what you're going to do?
Right.
Especially when you're trying to fool 31 other teams. You wouldn't. And that's why we can't believe anything we hear this time of year.
Are you saying that draft subterfuge is real?
Absolutely.
Guys, we're one floor below the war room. In fact, I'm pretty sure the war room is directly above us.
Somebody give me a drill.
And you've got about as much chance of getting into that war room as Fort Knox right now. Okay, you might be close in proximity. You're nowhere near trying to glean exactly what the Cardinals are going to do on draft day.
Let the poking and prodding begin.
All right, so look, it's not just the who, but it's the where. Where are you going to draft in the first round? What would you trade up to draft a quarterback. We'll size that up next. It is the Big Red Rage. Dave Pascher, Ron Wolf, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Back goes Bradford. He's flooding it. Touchdown!
A strike from Bradford. Great throw by Sam Bradford on a corner out.
I don't care who's out there. If you give Bradford time to throw, he's going to pick you apart.
Bradford on the run. Put the ball on the money.
Great throw, Sam Bradford.
Throws. End zone. Touchdown! Perfect placement from Bradford.
Sam Bradford has thrown three first-half touchdowns. Sam Bradford has had one heck of a night.
Bradford went deep again, and he connected.
Perfectly placed football by Sam Bradford. That's execution.
And that was your good news last year for Sam Bradford, your NFC Offensive Player of the Week in Week 1. The bad news was that was the only complete game that he participated in all season long. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, our pre-draft edition. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and Dave Pasch. Look, gentlemen, we have seen the entirety of Sam Bradford's career with the Rams mainly, and then last year with the Vikings. He spent a couple of years with the Eagles. When he's on. And man, was he on in Week 1 a year ago. The three touchdowns and no picks. He was throwing the ball downfield with accuracy. I mean, he throttled that Saints defense that ended up being pretty stout by the end of the year. The question, as always, Dave, can he stay healthy, something he hasn't been able to do two of the last 3 years?
I think, Paulie, if you look at the Cardinals situation, I know that a lot of people out there say, well, they don't have a quarterback. They have to go get one because the person that they get is going to end up playing this year. I think in a perfect world, whoever you get, if you get a quarterback in the first or second round, in a perfect world, he's not seeing the field this year because Sam Bradford is healthy. And if Sam Bradford isn't healthy, your backup, Mike Glennon, I know the Cardinals have liked him. Steve Keim has liked him since he came out of NC State. So you've got two other options there. So the hope is whoever you get is not playing this year. And I think that, depending on what you've seen so far from Bradford in mini camps, are you convinced, based on what you've seen with the knee, that, okay, we if we don't trade up and sell the farm and we stay at 15, we get a quarterback later or whatever, we're okay? Or has what you've seen in minicamps made you say, you know what, we have to move up because if we don't, we're going to be stuck with Mike Glennon or whoever we draft?
And you're talking about the Arizona Cardinals, what they've seen, right, so
right,
far,
right.
Right? Now, what I personally have seen. Let me just say this, David. The signing of Mike Glennon, I find that really, really interesting because, to me, it's like saying, we know the Cardinals are interested in bringing in another quarterback. Doesn't that say that there's no way in the world that quarterback is going to be expected to see the field? If you've got Sam Bradford, you went out and signed, and then you brought in Mike Glennon as well. It almost seems like if the Cardinals are going to go after a quarterback, they brought in Mike Glennon so that that quarterback whom they bring in through the draft doesn't actually have to play. And if there's one quarterback that screams to you right now, doesn't have to play this year, who would that be? Of the top five.
Honestly, I think it's all of them except one. I think the guy who is best suited to come in and play right away if he had to is Josh Rosen.
Agreed.
Okay, I would say, to me, the guy you don't want to see take the field is Lamar Jackson.
Baker
That's
Mayfield, too. I put him there. I put Darnold there. I would put Josh Allen there. I really think Rosen, to me,
wow,
is the only
really?
Guy that I think is ready to play. I'm not saying he's mature enough to handle it and be a great player, and whether he wants to be a great player, nobody knows, and I think that's why he's dropping. But I think from an ability standpoint, I think he's most ready.
Just think what you just said right there. That's the definition of a franchise quarterback totally changing. Stop and think of what you just said, that those other guys aren't ready to play yet. Four other guys are not ready to play, and yet they're probably going to go possibly in the top 10.
And Sam Bradford's contract is structured as such. Cardinals can get out of that contract, whether he doesn't play well or if he doesn't stay healthy. They can get out of it after this year, $15 million guaranteed, up to $20 million in incentives. And the cap hit would just be $5 million in 2019, if you believe the report. So it's structured as such.
Yes.
If there is a future franchise QB out of this draft that ends up on the roster, they can get out of the Bradford deal, and it wouldn't be too onerous in terms of, okay, here's the thing, though. The Cardinals have not drafted a quarterback higher than the fourth round, everybody now, since 2006, and Matt Leinart, 10th overall. So if you're looking at what the Cardinals are going to do and who they're going to target, Well, it could be any of those five guys, or maybe somebody in the second round or the latter part of the first round if they trade back up. We know this much. Baker Mayfield says on NFL Network he wants to be the guy.
You know, people talk about they'd rather fall down in the draft to the right team. No, I'd want to play somewhere. There's a challenge. I want to be the guy for a franchise. I want to be the face of the franchise, and I want to turn it around.
Of course, Dave Ears is the voice we heard against Kansas when he had the infamous scene on the sideline and he made the gesture towards the Kansas sideline. I guess that was all sparked pregame by what Kansas refused to do and shake his hand, and then it led to that at the end of the game.
You know, I think if it was just that one incident, you would give him a pass and say he was instigated and agitated and he didn't handle himself well. But because there have been other issues with Baker Mayfield, there are major red flags. And even hearing there were some issues at the combine in terms of some interviews and how things were handled by Baker Mayfield, it causes concern. Now, maybe he's put on a great face in some of these meetings. Maybe he's learned his lesson. Maybe he's matured. But you know what? I'm not going to be the team that has to find out when he gets here. That's just me. I know that there are people inside the Cardinals building that love Baker Mayfield, that think that he has the ability.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that scares me the most about Baker Mayfield isn't Baker Mayfield. It's the system from which he comes. Because I'm not even going to say that Jared Goff is a Mike Leach type of quarterback because, yes, he played in that system, but I think you got to put him...
Talking about the air raid offense.
Yes, you
right?
got to put him kind of in a corner over here. No one that's an air raid quarterback has succeeded in the NFL consistently. Baker Mayfield is not big. He has small hands. That offense in the Big 12, you know who has the highest quarterback rating? Somebody drafted in the Big 12 in the first or second round? The highest QBR. Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes!
Wow. Played one game.
Yes.
Played one game. The other guys, including Sam Bradford, their QBRs are not very good. They have losing records. I think you've got to be very careful because the Big 12 defenses are so bad you can get fooled. And I don't think the Cardinals will because I think they know it's more than just the tape. But when a guy is small and you look at him and you don't see franchise quarterback,
mm-hmm.
what's the fallback? Well, the tape. The tape says he's great. I think you got to be careful because it's the Big 12.
Because, Wolf, they have to be able to beat you from the pocket. It doesn't
yes.
start and end there anymore, because you know. But it always starts there. I know teams now like the escapability, the mobility. They love that aspect of a quarterback. But it has to start with the ability to beat a defense from the pocket.
Yeah, absolutely, Paulie. You know, it's just so fascinating to me, guys, that the definition of a franchise quarterback has truly changed. And when I say that, it used to be, of course, as we all know, Andrew Luck and in the types that came out that were like Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, right? But these guys that came out, the definition was their skill set. It was their skill set. They were running the same kind of offenses, using the same kinds of protections, right, in the college game as they were in the NFL game. Over the last 15 years, that has changed so much. It has changed so much that now all of a sudden you've got to project. And that's what it all is about now. A definition of a franchise quarterback in the year 2018 of our Lord is about, will this guy project into the National Football League? Can he project? It's not just about the skill set anymore. As a matter of fact, I would say the skill set is a little watered down. Now all of a sudden we hear, you know what, he's accurate. Yes, okay, he doesn't have a big arm, right, but he's accurate. He can make all the throws you need to make right there, but the best thing is his brain and what it is that he sees. Listen, the skill set has totally changed. But more than that, the one question you've got to ask yourself about a quarterback going into the NFL out of this college game is, how does he translate? What kind of transition is it going to be for him?
Okay, and that question is put on every quarterback, but nobody more so than maybe Lamar Jackson out of Louisville. And here's what Mike Mayock had to say about him on NFL Network.
I'm the most intrigued by Lamar Jackson. Somebody's going to commit to this kid, both philosophically and schematically, because if you draft him, you have to have a plan. I use Bill O'Brien as the example with Deshaun Watson last year in Houston. Although he's behind Deshaun Watson as a thrower, he's ahead of him as a runner. I mean, the quarterback thing is just intriguing.
All right, there you go. He's actually on with Doug and Wolf on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. Your thoughts, Dave, on Lamar Jackson?
I agree 100% with what Mike Mayock just said. I think he's so intriguing because he can win a game by himself. He's Michael Vick, and that he can sling the ball. And he can break you down in the run game. He can, you know, turn a a sack into an 80-yard touchdown run. But again, it would go back to your point, Paulie, about Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
You still at some point have to win throwing the ball from the pocket. Can you do it consistently?
Absolutely.
And if Lamar Jackson ends up in Arizona, at least, like we said, there's a chance for him to learn. And I think being with Bobby Petrino helped Lamar Jackson because he was in an NFL-style offense, even though he was a runner first.
The question is this. What would you give up to get Lamar Jackson?
I wouldn't trade up to get him.
Okay.
At number 15,
If he's there at 15 right there, you'd say...
It depends on who else is there.
I know, right.
But I'd think about it, yeah.
Okay, how about in general? How much are you willing to give up to trade up and get that future franchise quarterback? I've been saying it for over a month now. I'm not willing to give up that onerous cost to get into the top five. But if someone falls, and maybe it's Josh Rosen down around 10, yes, I would be willing to make that investment.
I think they've targeted a couple guys and said, if this guy is there in this scenario, this is what we're going to do.
And it's going to be a draft slot, draft day phone call that will be made.
There's no doubt Steve Kime's been working the phones. He was working it in person at the Combine, right? I mean,
absolutely.
These are things you
lay
set
the
up.
The foundation, Paulie.
I mean, it could be Jason Light, right? His old pal and former colleague with the Cardinals at number 7. There have been reports he's already had a deal struck, maybe with the Raiders at number 10. Who knows? I mean, is John Elway truly going quarterback at number 5? Are they going to get out of there since they have Case Keenum? We'll get back to the quarterbacks, but how about who the quarterbacks are throwing to and Larry Fitzgerald? That is next on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
With the third choice in the 2004 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Larry Fitzgerald, wide receiver, University of Pittsburgh.
About a 2004 Larry Fitzgerald, the number 3 pick overall. And by the time this season ends, number 2 all-time behind only Jerry Rice in receiving yards. His 15th season straight ahead. It'll be 35 in August. And what have you done for me lately? Well, one of two players with 100-plus catches in each of the last 3 seasons, along with Antonio Brown. Yes, that. Larry Legend. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and Dave Pasch. You've been there since day one. Remember Larry? He actually thought he was going to the Raiders. He thought he was going to the Raiders at number 2. He said this many times. Raiders took Robert Gallery, and then there you go. It was a Cardinals' good fortune as Denny Green took the guy he knew so well, Larry Fitzgerald.
I just remember the end of the regular season. Nate Poole catching the Hail Mary to keep the Cardinals from having the worst record. And had they finished with the number 1 pick, I would have imagined they take Eli Manning instead of Larry Fitzgerald. Now, that probably would have worked out pretty well, too.
I can't remember because I was riding around on a Harley in darkness at the time.
I think it was the very end of it.
It's definitely not the only thing Wolf can't remember from the dark days. Let's put it that way.
Next, Paul.
What about the receiver position, Dave Pasch? What do you think? In terms of need, where does the receiver spot rank? And look, need is always factored into your top 120 board.
Sure.
It just is. I mean, if you have the same grade for a guy who plays running back right now, he's not going to get rated as high as a guy who plays receiver because you don't have a need at running back like you do at receiver.
You know, it was interesting. I would have liked to have seen more of Chad Williams last year, and I think we can't forget about him for 2018. But clearly, they have a need at that position. I think some of the guys that are being talked about as first-round picks would be really good NFL players.
Really?
DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley.
Oh!
A guy that is interesting to me, and I don't know that he's a first-round pick, is James Washington from Oklahoma State. Because he's big. He's kind of got a little bit of an Anquan body. If you look at him, he almost doesn't look like a receiver.
It's a little thick.
But he attacks the ball. He's an aggressive receiver. And, again, I don't know if he's worthy of being picked at 15, but if at 47, for some reason, he's around, maybe that's somebody the Cardinals look at.
First of all, let me just say disclaimer, period, right? I don't know if any of these guys are worthy of being picked anywhere, but I will tell you this. The odds are greatly reduced. The margins are greatly reduced when you go upstairs and you start talking to these scouts. All they do is sit around. This is what they do. They sit around. They watch it individually. Then they watch it with a buddy. Then they watch it with 5 other guys. Then they watch it as a staff. They sit around, and this is all they they do. They're the Terminators of the NFL. And they know who's the best, or at least who they believe is the best. And even then, it's not a guarantee.
Well, okay, because look, not only is it an inexact science, but last year was a disaster. You had three receivers go in the top 10, and they did virtually nothing. I mean, the John Rosses of the world were not productive.
Why is that? Because the games are so disparate.
I think because receivers in spread offenses, they're not in the huddle. There aren't sight adjusts. Right? I mean,
no, David.
It's harder for a receiver than it is for a quarterback to make the adjustment, I think, from the spread to an NFL offense.
Some teams hold up a sign to let the receiver know what route he's running.
They're not in the huddle. They don't huddle to begin with.
That's like pigskin preschool is what that is. You got little color-coded pictures over there on the sideline. Chad Williams talked about it in this very studio last month, guys. He said that when he watches college games now, he laughs because the receivers are jawing and trash-talking with the DBs. He said, you can't do that in the NFL. There's too much thinking. You get up to the line of scrimmage, you got to read your defense, you got to look at the quarterback. Are we adjusting? What am I doing? What's my hot? And you're making all these mental adjustments. He said, you just don't have time to start trash talking.
Yes.
Well, and then you couple that with a corner who's probably 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, ready to jam you at the line of scrimmage and totally disrupt everything that you were about to do.
That was well said, David.
Let's see what Christian Kirk has to say. The local guy, Saguaro High School, went to Texas A&M. Man, the kid has skills. There's no doubt about it. And he's already had a visit with the Cardinals, and he was talking about that on NFL Network.
You know, I love the state of Arizona. Born and raised, you know, Valley kid. And I actually had a private visit with them already. Got to sit down with the GM, wide receiver coach, the offensive coordinator, have dinner and whatnot, and, you know, definitely really like their staff and, you know, what they have going on over there. So it would definitely be, you know, surreal if I could go and play there.
That is Scottsdale's own Christian Kirk. 7 career return touchdowns at A&M. Him and TJ Logan, all of a sudden your return game would be pretty stellar.
I probably should have mentioned him as another receiver when we were talking about guys maybe at number 15. Maybe that's a stretch. You know, it's all about value, right? Where you get a guy. And I guess at some point you have to say, you know, if we think this guy is the best player, if he's higher on our board, even though maybe other teams don't value him as high, we got to pull the trigger.
What, to me, though, look, Steve Keim has said it time and again, guys. If he's in the first round, he's almost always going left tackle, quarterback, cornerback, or pass rusher.
Yeah.
I just don't see the Cardinals at 15 going receiver, and certainly not with this class.
Yeah, you know, Paulie, it does make an awful lot of sense, but still, when you think about it right now, right, are you going to go into this season with Chad Williams, thinking that Chad Williams is going to be a big contributor?
I'm not saying
right
it's
now?
Not a need. It is a need.
I know, but again, at some point in time, that need does have to factor in. Now, I think you look at Calvin Ridley, and I think Calvin Ridley is a pretty good pick at number 15 overall. If, in fact, he's still there, I think there's a real shot the Arizona Cardinals are going to draft Calvin Ridley as that number 2 receiver and hope that he really grows and grows quickly in training camp.
I think there's a shot we're not having this conversation because they're not drafting a number 15.
Wow.
Right? I mean, that
okay.
Just,
okay. When you say that, well, do you mean moving up or moving down?
I think moving up. That you know, I just think that if they can find the right trade partner and they get the guy they want, guys that they've targeted, I think that's a real possibility. So if they're at 15, I agree, Wolf. I think Calvin Ridley, you know, he's kind of reminds you a little bit of Marvin Harrison. I know we said that about John Brown, but when you watch Ridley.
6'3", too.
Yeah.
He's got some size to him.
He's kind of got those thin hips, but he separates from guys. I did a game at Mississippi State, a night game, where he made 2 incredible plays at the end of the game to win the game. And, you know, he's that type of guy. I think he's a potential number 1 receiver in the NFL, where the other guys that we talked about, DJ Moore, maybe can turn into one. Christian Kirk, James Washington, I think they're probably number 2s, but Ridley is, to me, the one guy that stands out as a number 1.
But to come back to your point about trading up and, you know, whether 2 QB or not 2 QB, based on last year what happened, when Houston traded in front of them, when KC had traded in front of the Cardinals, if by chance a quarterback does fall, you can't be the sitting duck at 15 because everybody knows you need and want a quarterback.
As Wolf would say, ding, 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 ding.
Did you just go full-on bard, Paul?
A little Shakespeare in the park.
Last year, Patrick Mahomes, there is no question the Cardinals had a lot of interest in him. And I think also knowing that 2019 and 2020 the prospects right now don't scream franchise quarterbacks.
Yes.
I think that plays a role in what happens tomorrow night.
Josh Rosen's got deep set eyes. Never trust deep set eyes.
I don't trust the poker faces I'm looking at right here on the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
With the fifth pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Patrick Peterson, defensive back, LSU.
I feel if I'm able to be moved around a little bit more, obviously quarterbacks give me a couple more opportunities, and if we can find a solid number two corner to make it kind of difficult for the quarterback to pick and choose which side he want to go on, I think that'll make not only me but the defense a lot better.
I think there's quality at the top, the middle, and the back end of guys who can not only contribute but contribute early. I mean, there's some polished players in the top part of the draft, in my opinion, and there's some guys that I think have the right traits that you can find in the middle rounds as well.
I'll tell you what, Steve Keim with some information there. The holy cannoli stat from the Super Bowl, 18 starters in Super Bowl 52 were drafted in the fourth round or lower, including six undrafted players. I mean, some of the stars of that game were undrafted guys. Corey Clement, LeGarrette Blount. I mean, Amendola had 152 yards receiving. You know, Chris Hogan, 128 yards receiving, all undrafted guys. So it's definitely an inexact science. And if you can excel on day three, there's no doubt you can build your team and do it in a very cost-effective way. It is the Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and Dave Pasch, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. If only every single draft pick was a home run like Patrick Peterson, who has made the Pro Bowl every single year of his NFL career. And what do you think about cornerback, Dave? I mean, we talk about quarterback, but is it more realistic to think that the Cardinals go after a guy who could be that number two corner? And right now, that is a big absence on the depth chart, that guy alongside Pete Twice.
Yeah, I'm with you, Paulie. I mean, you can never have too many corners. If you find a great one, I don't think Denzel Ward would be there. Maybe Jair Alexander is there. I like the safeties, Derwin James from Florida State, Minkah Fitzpatrick from Alabama. I don't think either of those guys are there. Ronnie Harrison from Alabama. I think all three of those guys make you better on the back end.
Yeah.
They're not corners. Fitzpatrick could play some corner. Derwin James, you know, he probably is a guy that could play a couple different positions, but ends up at safety. Again, I think it depends on who's there, but I'm with you, Paulie. They have to at some point find someone else opposite Patrick Peterson, because we know that guy, whoever it is going to get a lot of targets.
I would put cornerback right up there with wide receiver as well, right? I would say corner and wide receiver, you can go ahead and pick it between those two as to whether or not that is the biggest area of need for the Cardinals. But you guys know how Steve Keim is. You know how he is, man. I mean, he's going to factor need at some point into the equation, but he is going to draft the highest rated player on his board. If he stays at 15, that's what he's going to do.
And don't forget who else is in the war room. Steve Wilks, the new head coach, the former defensive coordinator of Carolina. Nobody blitzed more at a greater rate than Steve Wilks a year ago. I mean, how key is it to have that number two corner who can play on an island? I'm sure he considers that very valuable. And his background is working with DBs. So, of course, that question came up to Steve Wilks recently when he looks at the draft.
I'm not really keen on the measurables. I like them. There are attributes there, but I like to put on the film and really see how a guy plays. The passion, the love, you know, is that guy physical? You know, do you see him competing day in and day out, you know, first quarter, fourth quarter?
That's intriguing, because maybe on day two or day three, Steve Wilks has seen a guy that he likes, and maybe that allows the Cardinals to pass on the cornerback position in round one.
Yeah, you know, I will say this, Mike Hughes. I like Mike Hughes a lot, the kid out of UCF, mm-hmm. right? Here's a guy that's 5'10". He's a little compact. He's 190 pounds, right? But he ripped off 20 reps at 225. Now, you stop and think about that right there. For a corner. To get 20 reps at 225, that's a lot.
Here's my jam.
Exactly, Paulie. And when I hear Steve Wilks say that, I think of Mike Hughes. I mean, think of the chip that is inside of Mike Hughes' heart, all right, playing at UCF. Once again, I'm not trying to say that UCF is not a good program, but as we all know, this is no Oklahoma. This is no Michigan. This is no Ohio State. This is no Alabama, right? UCF. And although it's a very good program, again,
didn't they win the national championship?
Here's a guy.
They put up a banner and gave out rings.
Yeah. Here's a guy that, to me, competes and loves to compete.
Well, Look, Marshawn Lattimore, you look at last year getting taken in the first round by the Saints, he changed their defense. Is that guy there at 15 for the Cardinals? Is there somebody who can – obviously you have Patrick. Look, a lot of people look at the Cardinals roster and they say, oh, they're going to be 4-12. And I'm thinking, wait a second, they're 8-8, and I'm usually pessimistic. They were 8-8
yes.
last year. They have most everybody back on defense. Marcus Golden, who missed last year – David Johnson's back. Why the negativity? I mean, you have a lot of talent on this roster. What if you add a corner that can turn your defense into the best in
Double
the league?
Down. Stop and
look
think
at
about
Jacksonville.
That.
Look at how they built their defense and what they did. If they had a better quarterback, they would have won. Hey, they maybe would have won the Super Bowl last year.
The league office doesn't believe. They gave the Cardinals one primetime game. Every other team in the division got five, including the Niners. Vegas doesn't believe.
I love it.
They just put out the odds out of Vegas as to the odds of winning your division. The Cardinals have the worst odds along with Cleveland of winning their division.
You mentioned San Francisco. Isn't it interesting that the guy that's playing quarterback for them, obviously they didn't draft him, but he was not a first-round draft pick. But the Patriots, when they took him, believed that Jimmy G was a franchise quarterback. So if the Cardinals, again, look, I know we're getting back to quarterback here, but what if they look at the situation and say, we think there's a franchise quarterback in the second or third round, he's going to have to sit for a year or two, but we feel that that guy's there, then I'm okay with that. If they've identified a guy, Kyle Laletta is a name that you mentioned. There's some small school quarterbacks out there that no one's talking about that I think the Cardinals like.
And they did a deep dive at the Senior Bowl. It wasn't just Kyle Laletta, who was the Senior Bowl MVP. They talked a lot with Luke Falk out of Washington State, Mike White, who was a former big-time recruiter, ended up at Western Kentucky. There are those guys that might be there in round two.
The only thing you could possibly think of and consider is moving back into the first round, late in the first round, to get that fifth year for a quarterback that you might draft. Now, look, it might be drafting him higher than what it is that you normally would. Maybe you could get him in the second round, but still, at least that fifth-year option is there.
All right, now, speaking of trading and trading around the draft board and trying to get up maybe from 15 into the top 10 or maybe getting back into round one, Steve Keim was talking about that with the media. It's easy for us to say, might not be that easy to execute.
I mean, if you really are passionate about that particular player that you know can be a game changer, go get him. Sometimes it's more than you'd like to pay for him, but if you're convinced that that player can help you, I don't think there's any reason. And we've tried to trade up in the past. Past years that I've been the general manager, we've been aggressive in a lot of different areas and have tried to trade up, and you have to find the partner. That's the problem. Teams aren't always willing to trade. So when people talk about, you know, just trade back or trade up, it's not as easy as you think on draft day.
And it sounds like, Dave, you're convinced the Cardinals are going to go down swinging. They're going to be very aggressive.
I think, yes. I think what Steve said is interesting. Not everybody knows that, but yes, they've been aggressive in the past. I think they'll be even more aggressive, and I think the way you put it is accurate. I think they have guys targeted, and they're going to go try to get those guys or guy.
All right, what if they went all in? Like Sam Darnold at number two with the Giants. Your thoughts on Sam Darnold, because you called his Rose Bowl 2 years ago where he was stellar, and then a couple of games this past season where not so much.
I just think he's got – in college he had the it factor. Now, does that transfer over to the NFL? Boy, I don't know. I think there are some questions about his ability to play in the NFL, cold weather, all those kinds of things, and I would probably not do that if I'm the Cardinals.
Interesting. Hey, it's the draft party. It's every year. It's at University of Phoenix Stadium. That is on Thursday. Gates open at 4:30. The NFL draft coverage up there in the Jumbotrons. They do a great job executing this. The draft starts at 5 o'clock. It's free admission. And then the two best words in all of life, free parking, kids zone, autographs, zip line. Dave Pasch will be out on that. The fireworks show after the draft. It's all coming your way. The Cardinals draft party, University of Phoenix Stadium on Thursday evening.
This is not a sprint. Not a sprint. We're moving. You know where you are. Compete against each other, but most importantly, compete against yourself. You gotta live on the sled, using our weapons, man. Eyes, hands, hips, and feet. Right there we go. Hey, the one thing I like about today, you talk about tempo and urgency. I thought you guys came out here with some tempo and urgency.
There were a lot of things we emphasized, attention to detail, background information, making sure that everybody is on the same page.
It feels like it's, you know, we're not missing anything.
No, it was top notch. I mean, I was blown away. Just,
you know, the details of the scouts, the information that they receive on the players, I'm talking about phenomenal.
Cardinals Flight Plan is out. Episode 6. Go to facebook.com/Cardinals Flight Plan. I have no idea how this season is going to go, but I can tell you right now, the Cardinals are going to win one thing this year, and that's an Emmy for Cardinals Flight Plan. Ooh. It is really well done. It is NFL Films caliber, and this episode is must watch. You have the first time with Steve Wilks on the field. He is mic'd up. It is all access. You may or may not see your head coach running gassers with his team. It's good stuff. You got to check it out. It is the Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Dave Pasch. And Wolf, you're out on that field. Maybe a couple of takeaways and first impressions from you on the new head coach, Steve Wilks.
You know, it was so comforting because I could just close my eyes and you could tell that there was a new coaching staff out on the field.
No doubt.
Because of the elevated tones, Paulie, right? I mean, this is what happens. You know, obviously, Bruce Arians had a close relationship with his players and did a great job with his staff over the 5 years that they were here working with the players, of course. But by year three, year four, you've worked with each other. You know who these guys are. You know what buttons to push and which buttons not to push. And you've got a great relationship with most of the guys, right? It's symbiotic as well. When you get a new coaching staff, all bets are off, baby. You know what? You better prove yourself all over again. And you know what's interesting? Even Larry Fitzgerald, legend Larry Fitzgerald said, you know what, every time a new staff comes in, you just kind of feel like you got to prove yourself.
Chandler Jones said it. He said there's an extra edge. Mr. 17 sacks, franchise record, Sackmaster NFL, said there is an extra edge when there's a new staff out on that field, and they've had some more time to work and implement the system. And so it's been intriguing to watch. There's no doubt about it. Nobody has any equity built up.
Yep.
And as Chad Williams told us in here, do you see different sides of Coach Steve Wilks? Yes. But he said, remember one thing. Every side of Coach Wilks is in charge. He commands the room. He commands the field. Just a very commanding presence when he's out there with the players.
You know, when I heard that Steve Wilks was getting the job, I didn't know much about him other mm-hmm. than he had been a longtime NFL assistant coach. And I heard from some people that are in the Hornets organization, that including the former coach Steve Clifford, that absolutely love him. And when you start hearing that from people you respect and from how they go about their business, and then talking to Steve and Terry McDonough about Steve Wilks and the type of coach that he is, you get excited. This guy commands the room. He has respect. He's well-liked, well-respected. And I think the Mike McCoy hire is something I don't think nationally a lot of people are talking about. But
David.
Mike McCoy is an excellent offensive mind.
Yep.
And I think we'll help the Cardinals a lot.
Sam Bradford made that clear just a few days ago in meeting the media, just how open McCoy has been. I mean, it's not just coach speak. He's going to formulate that offense based on the strengths and wants and needs of the guys on offense, including his quarterback.
And not only that, I like the fact that they're including Sam Bradford into that conversation because of accountability. It's so important.
Don't forget, by the way, Sam Bradford said this is his 7th or 8th system since he's been in the NFL.
Brilliant dude.
I mean, there's
brilliant
a Blaine Gabbert dude. Factor there. If he can get comfortable in this system, look out.
And he survived Josh McDaniels, so more credit to him.
All right, here's Steve Keim on his new head coach, Steve Wilks, working with Wilks and the rest of the staff.
Last 2.5 months working with Coach Wilks and his staff has been fantastic. Those guys have done an unbelievable job, not only acquiring information, but working with our scouting staff. And the two groups have blended together quite nicely.
And now it's going to be the draft, because remember, Steve Wilks will be in that war room. And you know, Wolf, what's your gut feeling on that? I mean, how much of a decision maker will the head coach be in some of these decisions over draft weekend?
That's a great question, Paulie. It really is. First of all, let me just say this. They hammered all of this out, the 120 board, last Thursday and Friday. They hammered it all out.
I wish we had video
of that. That's where you want to be in the war room, right? It's not draft day. Those decisions are all made come draft day, right? It was last Thursday and Friday where the scouts, they all came in, the coaches were there, Steve Wilks there, they came into the room and they had it out, right? As to who their rankings are, that's where it gets good. But I would have to believe that Steve Wilks, being a first-time head coach, would probably defer to Steve Keim largely on draft day. I'm just guessing, as a first-time coach that hasn't really been through the entire process, knowing that the decisions are already made is probably going to do an awful lot of watching as opposed to leading.
Yeah, I would say, especially early on, where with B.A. and Steve Keim, they worked in tandem, and it was a partnership of making all personnel decisions. Obviously, Steve had the final say, but that they would work them out together, and a lot of times Steve would defer to B.A. I think Steve Wilks is going to defer to Steve Keim, and the draft tomorrow is going to be Steve Keim's draft.
In fact, here's Wilks on working with his GM.
I think the biggest thing really is just being on the same page, and a word that I like to use is trust. We trust one another. Our vision is in line with one another. We sort of see things the same way and how we want to really shape and build this roster. So it's been a great process.
Then again, just thinking out loud, it's a new system, especially on defense. Now, are there a lot of similarities to the defense the Cardinals have run the last 5 years? Sure. But there's definitely some significant differences. I wonder how often Steve Keim has said, all right, Coach Wilks, what do you need? I'm getting used to your system. You know, what sort of pieces do you need to make this a go?
I think there's a lot of that, and I think one of the reasons why Steve is an excellent GM is that he works well with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, it's not that way in every organization, right? Some places it's all about being the guy that makes the call, and you're going to do things your way. That's not Steve Keim. And so I think he respects Steve Wilks. He hired him, so he's going to make sure that he exercises everything he can from Wilks' history to try to come up with the players that best suit that defense.
Wants and needs. That's what the draft weekend's all about. You know, if it comes to an underrated position, I would not be surprised if the Cardinals on the first 2 days of the draft took a center or maybe even a middle linebacker.
Ooh.
I mean, think about Steve Wilks. He had Luke Kuechly. He had Thomas Davis in the middle there. Are they going to target that guy, especially with Dale Buchanan going into the final year of his deal?
Is Luke Kuechly in the draft, Paul? I mean, do you know who that guy is?
Is Roquan Smith available at 15?
Oh, boy.
Oh, Roquan!
Wow.
Roquan!
Attention, Niners. What do you need for that number 9 pick? Maybe that. Hey, it's your 2018 season tickets. They are on sale now. 602-379-0102 or azcardinals.com. Back to wrap it up on the Big Red Rage.
We are, as evaluators, whether you're a scout or whether you're a coach, you're enamored with the tools, the height, weight, and speed, the stuff that Ron Wolfley had coming out of West Virginia. But there are certain guys that they stick and they roster and they play for a long time because they love it, because they can learn it, because they're instinctive, things that you can't coach.
That wasn't funny, Steve. That wasn't funny.
He couldn't help but notice Wolf was sitting there among the media. Wolf, you know, won't actually claim that he's a member of the media, but he sits with the media and throws questions out at the draft press conference.
Hey, anyone got a hot dog?
Wolf, you're a member of the media. You do a four-hour talk show, and you're the radio analyst for an NFL
That's
team.
Right.
That is the definition of being a member of the media.
Yeah. No, the
Charles Barkley is a member of the media.
No.
That means you're a member of the media.
I just, you know what, it's a mindset, David.
Right.
I'll never be a member of the media.
Wolf, when you're there calling out one of the Cardinals' picks, you're no longer a member of the media. But see, you're busy. You're calling the draft. You know, I mean, if every draft pick could be third rounder Aeneas Williams back in the day, who's going to announce the Cardinals' second round selection. You got Deuce Latui. Oh, love Big Deuce. He's going to handle a third round pick. And then on Saturday, you got Frank Sanders, former kicker Neil Racker is going to be standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona.
I love that.
To announce the fourth round selection.
Cool. Oh, I love
that's cool.
I mean, remember, it's a TV event. I mean, the draft is a TV event. And every year, it's amazing how insatiable the appetite is for the NFL draft. They're going to do a Mondo TV rating on ESPN, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't wait for tomorrow night, guys. And look, first of all, don't believe anything I said in the last hour, and believe everything I said in the last hour.
Right?
And that goes for anybody who's talking about the draft. And guess what? Tomorrow night, we don't have to hear about it anymore, because we're going to really find out what people are thinking.
What is your expectation, Ron Wolfley, and how much are you willing to give up to trade up and try and snag that future franchise quarterback?
You know what? The only exception to what I'm about to say here is if, in fact, Josh Rosen does start to fall. If Josh Rosen falls and he's there at 10, boom, suddenly the Oakland Raiders pick comes up. You were talking about this earlier, Paulie. I believe that scenario right there.
I do, absolutely.
Where suddenly the Arizona Cardinals go, whoa, wait a minute now, and Steve gets aggressive and wants to move up. I'm not not buying the Arizona Cardinals moving up to number 5 or number 6. I'm not. I think they stay right where they are at 15 and then maybe try to get back into the first round late and draft a quarterback.
Let me leave you with this. Who's to say if they trade up, it's for someone other than a quarterback?
Oh!
Now look at that. Roquan Smith, you think? That Luke Kuechly type they need in the middle of the defense? What are you saying, Dave?
I have
Patch?
No idea. I'm just throwing that out there.
I would just love to have somebody named the Quan again. Roquan!
Look at that. Pash just a fire starter in the last minute of the show. Are you kidding me?
Stay tuned for the podcast and the Pash 5 coming
up. That's what he does.
I will say, if it gets past,
he's hit and run
if
Pash.
A quarterback gets past Denver, Indy, Tampa, Chicago, San Francisco, Oakland, none of those teams needs a quarterback. Those teams would be willing to deal. I'm just throwing that out there.
Lamar Jackson.
It is the Big Red Rage. Special thanks to Jim Omohundro and Cody Fincher. Dave Pash and Ron Wolfley. I'm Paul Calvisi on the Big Red Rage.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
Woo! What's up, bro?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.